Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
Final hour, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. A reminder, our coverage of the football postseason is brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. And we got the All-Pro team, Keefe, from the NFL earlier today.
That's right. First and second team All-Pros.
So Brendan Schooler is first team All-Pro, special teamer.
Congratulations.
Good for that guy.
Core teamer.
Our guy, Christian Gonzalez, second team All-Pro corner.
Well met. So a Pro Bowl snub,
yep.
Not a Pro Bowler, but an All-Pro, which is better.
Yeah.
It's more significant. It's not a popularity contest. It's truly the best players.
And
I'm not too much of a talker. No.
That's all right. Good
one,
player.
One way to look at it, Christian.
Yeah.
Who I think, based on the Patriots Twitter account, is not going by Gonzo. Did you see what they're calling him?
Zo?
They're calling him Zo.
We got another Zo in town.
I guess.
I don't know.
All-Pro. Yeah, go to the next question.
I think they're going to be Zo. One Zo.
Didn't we ask him about nicknames? I never heard this one.
No. Well, maybe they just like how it rhymes. Maybe he's like, I don't want that.
All-Pro Zo.
All-Pro Zo.
Okay.
Well, Gonzo is a man of few words.
That's definitely different than the others. Few words. Yeah. Well, no. All pro.
Oh, well.
Yeah, is definitely very different.
I thought you were going to say a few words.
Alonzo Mourning as well.
Yep.
So he's got a new nickname going. But another way to look at it is top five in the NFL at corner. They do all pro, first team, two cornerbacks and a slot corner. So Marlon Humphrey was a slot corner along with the top two, which were Sertan and...
Probably Stingley?
It was Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
And then he was on the second team with Trent McDuffie. So top five corner in the NFL.
Top five corner is pretty great, especially when it's your first full season, you know, second year as a pro. And so that's one of the selling points. We keep talking about Drake May being a selling point for potential coaches, and he obviously is the selling point. But if you're Vrabel or any other coach and you're like, you know, how do I make this defense good? It's a good place to start in today's NFL to have one of the best corners.
Great place to start.
And I'm glad he got it because he deserved it. Like, we watched him every single game, and you're like, this guy's good. He's like shutting down stud guys. He did all he could. The overall defense wasn't very good, and they lost a million games. So you could see why maybe you wouldn't make the Pro Bowl, but the AP voters look at it differently. They're like, all right, who are the best corners?
Well,
and he was one of them.
And the other four are all in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Sertan.
Yep.
Stingley. Humphrey. McDuffie.
Oh, yeah.
So... as we talk about teams making the playoffs and defensive coaches and all this, like maybe that is a bigger thing than we give it credit for.
Yeah, and like those are like top defenses. I'm sure they have other teammates that are on there as well. Whereas, spoiler alert, Gonzalez has no other teammates besides Schooler. Although Schooler was a big part of that Longhorn package.
Oh yeah, he'll give you a
couple sacks,
3-4 plays a game, a
couple sacks here and there.
If that in a select game, he'll give you that.
Yeah, not every game.
No.
But congrats to Gonzo, friend of the show,
a big time friend of the show.
You think we'll talk to him next year?
Some would say we're best friends.
Or my best friend in the world.
Do we think we'll talk to him next year? No idea. I don't know what goes on with Patriots Monday and Friday under a new coach. I have no idea.
Maybe Hunter Henry's been locked in.
True.
For a long time. I think since he's gotten here, he's been one of the Patriots Monday guests.
Yeah. So who? I don't know. I mean, is Vrabel more media friendly, less media friendly? Would Ben Johnson be different?
It was supposed to be a rotating cast of like seven guys, and they end up getting either suspended or hurt. So,
What do you mean suspended? Who are you talking about? One guy gets suspended.
Well, there were.
He didn't get suspended. He got commissioner exempted.
Yeah, Barmore.
That's the same thing.
Barmore was on our initial list, wasn't he? He was also taken off, but I guess that was more for the health scare and then the incident in Providence.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, I wanted to bring up the All Pro teams, not just for Gonzalez. But Lamar Jackson is first team All-Pro.
I think he's the MVP. He's my MVP. So it's a similar group of voters, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And therefore, it'd be hard to lose the MVP vote. I mean, you have to. How many? Maybe it's happened where like the second team All-Pro quarterback beat the All-Pro quarterback for MVP because maybe some of them view it differently. I don't know how you would.
So I've been saying this to you that
it's going
to
be close.
I agree. I think it's a giveaway that Lamar's winning MVP, which I disagree with. And I've said to you before, Keith, I think they owe Josh Allen one from last year. Like, Lamar shouldn't have won it over Allen. And so I would give Allen this year, but you don't like that argument. Let me give you this one.
All right.
Who did more for their team? Like, Lamar added Derrick Henry. Lamar had more help than maybe he's had in years and years and years. They added
on James Cook.
They added Derrick Henry to that team. They subtracted Steph Diggs off this team. And Josh Allen had a better team. I mean, the Bills were a better team this year than Baltimore. And I think he's more instrumental to what Buffalo does than even, and that's not a snipe at Lamar. I like Lamar. I like him a lot. But Josh Allen was more important to the Bills, and the Bills were a better team than even Lamar is to Baltimore.
Yeah, I guess I'm looking more just at the two head-to-head.
Just the stats?
And, you know, I know Zay Flowers is in a Pro Bowl.
If it's just the stats, again, Josh Allen should have won last year, like in a landslide over Lamar.
Listen, I'm talking about now. I'm in the here and the now. I'm not looking back.
I'm factoring that in.
I'm like Orpheus. Lamar not looking back.
Lamar shouldn't have three while Josh Allen has zero.
That's a good Greek reference there. Did I go past you?
Oh, it did. I thought that was a...
Orpheus not supposed to look back, and then he did, then boom, that's why we have spring.
Say it again. Orpheus? Morpheus.
Orpheus. I think it was Davey too much.
Yeah. No, isn't it Orpheus? Look it up.
No, but I thought you said Morpheus.
Oh, from Matrix?
I thought this was a Matrix reference is what I thought I missed.
No, Orpheus. Yeah. You can look it up. He had his whole thing. Was it Persephone or whatever? His girl. And they were like, she was in the underworld. And they were like, you can get her back. You got to take off first. Just don't turn around. Then he turned around. And then there's a whole deal. And now you get half the spring and summer. She's up here. And then fall and winter, she's down there. Sorry for the history lesson, folks.
No, look. It just underscores that Keith is a real Renaissance man.
That's right.
Okay? He's got the stats and info department. Yep. Hard at work. Okay, he's got all kinds of, you said that was, what kind of mythology? Greek mythology?
Greek mythology.
A Greek mythology reference. Yeah. And he also is the most plugged in insider when it comes to the Boston Bruins. If you don't know that by now, I don't know what to tell you. No one has intel into the Bruins team like Rich Keefe. I'm sure a lot of the beat writers will shoot this down. Oh, these two guys actually get along. What are you hearing on the Bruins right now, Keefe? We've lost six in a row.
Real quick, what's worse, to be ignored or to be them to be like, that's wrong?
Oh, ignored.
Yeah, so if they say it's wrong, then that's fine. But I don't think it is.
They should learn their lesson.
No, we know that the Bruins on the ice have been a mess. They've lost six in a row after last night's game to Tampa Bay. But the scoop is there's real problems inside the dressing room. And David Pastrnak is at the center of it. David Pastrnak does not want to play on a line with Brad Marchand, and it may stem from Marchand calling out Pastrnak for his play earlier in the year. So Pastrnak, sort of the root of sort of these problems that they're currently having in the clubhouse, and like you can see it on the ice. I mean, they're a bit of a mess, but I think it speaks to more than that.
Well,
like, the chemistry is.
Look, I would say it rings true for a number of reasons. Number one, because you're not wrong on any of these scoops.
No.
But number two, they're playing like a team that isn't getting along.
No, and these are supposed to be at least your two best forwards. Also, you know, two of your longer tenured guys. And at a time when things are going poorly, who do you look to dig it out? I love Trent Frederick throwing knucks as much as the next guy, but like that's not going to be the answer to snap your losing streak. You need these two guys and McAvoy and Swayman. But like, as far as scoring is concerned, you need to lean on these two guys a little bit.
They look like a team that isn't getting along.
Yeah.
And they're not, according to Bruins insider Rich Keefe.
Right.
Hashtag Scoops Keefe.
Maybe the mom's trip can solve it. I don't know.
Not so far.
No, that was a tough loss last night. They got a day game tomorrow.
Pastrnak was up to his old ways last night. Where offensive zone turnover on the power play, he gets into the zone, he immediately turns it over, going 1-on-2. Next thing you know, it's a breakout the other way, and the Lightning score shorthanded.
And I got this.
Nobody gets back. Yeah. Lori gets spun around. Swayman has no idea where the puck is when it bounces off the end boards.
And this was something I texted you guys before the Bruins even played.
Correct.
So I don't think it got necessarily better after last night.
No.
That was pregame I'd heard this.
So Marchand's been a little mean to Pastrnak. Pastrnak doesn't want to play on a line with him. They do not play on a line.
No.
They have not for a while. I just wondered aloud earlier, Keith. I'm like, well, just in case anybody tries to like underscore this and say they don't play together, they do get power play time together.
Mm-hmm.
They had until last night. They were on separate power play units last night. Pastrnak was on the top power play unit. Marchand was on the second power play unit.
Now, they've been trying to also tweak the power play for a long time because it sucks. It's the worst it's ever been in franchise history. So there is, I'm sure, plenty of movement to be had there. But, yeah, that's another one where you're like, all right, these guys are your two best guys. And you can make the argument both sides, right? You could say break up the two best guys so you have a little bit more balanced scoring attack. Or when you're really struggling, maybe put the two guys out there together and sort of say, hey, we got to score on this. But regardless, whatever they've done has not worked to this point.
I don't mind them playing on separate lines.
Yeah.
I kind of hated the perfection line and putting those guys all together when Bergeron was here. I didn't like that. I wanted to spread the scoring out through the lineup. But I want that organically. I don't want it because there's a rift between two players who refuse to play with one another.
And, you know, Marchand, the captain, and if he's calling out a player, he should feel entitled to call out any player, whether it's the fourth line or whether it's the sixth defenseman or whether it's the backup goalie or the 60-goal scorer. He should feel like he should call those guys out. Because he's not doing it publicly, right? Like, when does Marchand come out there? Like, that was one of the big things why there was pushback from the players against Cassidy, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, what are you doing? Like, you're embarrassing us. They didn't like that. To the best of my knowledge, Marchand hasn't really done it publicly, has he?
Not of Pasternak, but he did a little bit of Swayman. Remember that?
True, yeah. Well, contract-related, that stuff.
Correct.
Right?
It was like, hey, you know, I'm not going to talk about my contract. It was through the prism of talking about his own situation, but many took that as a shot at Jeremy Swayman.
But I think Marchand's probably doing the right thing. Like, you want more out of Pasternak. Yeah. And so you're like, all right, the first coach may have said it, but he's already been fired. The second coach is like, all right, I'm the interim. I don't know how those conversations have gone between Sacco and Pasternak. But Marchand's trying to do the right thing, but it's not working.
So the scoop is, again, Pasternak and Marchand not seeing eye to eye. It goes just beyond poor play on the ice where the Bruins have sucked, lost 6 in a row and 7 out of 8. Those two don't get along. So there's the scoop. What do you do if you're Sweeney?
Man. So yeah, the trade deadline is less than 2 months from now. You've already fired a coach with you're trying to like create a spark. These are two guys that I just don't know. I can't trade Pasternak. I can't do it. I know, and we've actually gotten a lot of texts from people saying to do that or tweets to do that. They're like, we're sick of this guy, which is surprising to me, just with his ability and like what he's capable of doing. I know he's not a perfect player, but he's very highly skilled. So I'm not trading him. I'm also not trading Marchand. I need these guys to figure it out. And whether that ends up being, you know, Sweeney himself, I don't know if he's even tried this, but Sweeney or Neely or somebody talking to those two guys, maybe you almost force them to play together. Like, listen, you're going to kind of sink or swim together because if you don't want to play with them, then you're going to look bad, right? If you're sandbagging a guy on your line, how are you going to look?
It's true. So I would keep Pasternak. You'd get more for Pasternak than Marchand, obviously, but I would keep Pasternak. I want the guy who can score 50, and no one loves Marchand more than me. But I trade Marchand. He's a free agent at the end of the year, and yeah, it's a bad sign to empower someone for acting like an a-hole, but I'm doing that. I'm siding with talent while the Bruins need all the help they can get.
Yeah.
I'm siding with talent over a guy who you wonder how much he has left in the tank.
McAvoy's then the captain, I guess.
I guess.
Or Pasternak. Just make Pasternak the captain. Whatever you want.
I probably wouldn't do that. okay, so that's on the Bruins. Meanwhile, I kind of forgot Wiggy mentioned this to us earlier. Some comments from Gerard Mayo's wife on social media are picking up steam. We can get to those coming up, but it is the Friday before Wild Card Weekend, which means...
Oh, boy.
It's time for the keys.
Rich Keefe, what is going to be a couple of keys?
And now,
what are your two keys tonight?
Keefe presents.
So you're basically listing like 10 things, and out of those 10, four of them come correct. And you're like, see, I told you.
Keefe's keys.
Today's keys to the game.
Keefe's keys.
Time for the keys to the game.
Keys to tonight's game.
Who's going
to
win?
Probably one of the worst segments I've ever heard on Boston radio.
Only the keys can tell.
There's your key right there.
Keefe's keys.
It's Keefe's keys.
Okay, here we go. We're talking about Wild Card Weekend. We have 6 games, 2 tomorrow, 3 on Sunday, and then a Monday night game. So here are your keys to the Wild Card. Here we go. The Wild Card format began in 1970, the same year Queen Latifah was born.
Big year.
A Wild Card is an invitation to a tournament or playoff awarded to a team or individual that does not qualify through an automatic bid. In some events, Wild Cards are chosen freely by the organizers. Other events have fixed rules.
Chosen freely by the organizer.
In Uno, you are not allowed to play a Wild Card on top of another Wild Card.
That's not a Jones House rule, I can tell you that.
The Green Bay Packers have an NFL record 11 wild card weekend wins, while the Philadelphia Eagles have an NFL record 11 wild card weekend losses. You do the math.
Something's got to give.
Every group of friends needs a wild card.
Wild card, bitches! Yeah!
And if you don't know who the wild card is, chances are you are the wild card.
Yeah, look in the mirror. You're probably the wild card.
Right.
It's true.
Professional diver Jason Statham isn't just the ultimate jock. He's also appeared in over 50 movies and TV shows and has even won the Women Film Critics Circle Award and Most Offensive Male Character Award for his work in Crank. You might also know Jason from 2 Meg movies, 4 Expendables movies, 3 Transporter movies, 6 Fast and the Furious movies, 2 The Mechanic movies, and the 2015 classic, Wild Card.
Wow. I liked him in Snatch.
What a journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great in Snatch. The 1995 Philadelphia Eagles hold the record for most points scored in a wild card game. They scored 58 in a win over the Lions, where Rodney Pete lit it up for 3 touchdown passes. The Eagles defense also had 6 interceptions, including 2 for a score.
Wow. Go Eagles.
In the 1996 wild card round, the Jacksonville Jaguars, in their second year in existence, overcame a 7-point fourth quarter deficit to defeat the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, no.
30-27. The Jags offense produced more than 400 yards of offense that day. Running back Natron Means Business rushed 31 times for 175 yards and a touchdown. Mark Brunell threw for 239 yards and a score. But the key to that game was left tackle Tony Boselli, who shut down Bruce Smith. That performance vaulted Boselli into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, something that still irks Bruce Smith.
So this might be the origin, so he's just bitter about the loss.
While not all wildcard weekend games are great, they're all better than watching the 2024 Patriots.
Yeah, I'll sign off on that.
In a standard deck of playing cards, there are typically 2 wild cards, which are represented by the Jokers.
Huh.
Todd Phillips directed 2 Joker movies, with the sequel being so bad it ruined any enjoyment I had of the original. And finally, Jones and listeners, there are 3 Derricks playing this weekend.
Nice!
So if you're looking for some Derrick football, you're in luck. There will be 2 in the Houston-LA game and 1 in the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game. 3 Derricks.
So who are they?
Derek Stingley, Derek Burnett, both with Houston, so and Derek Henry with the Ravens.
Duh.
King Henry.
Got it. So
second team All-Pro.
Got to go Baltimore and Houston this weekend.
I would think so. We'll see what the Derek record ends up being.
Got to like their chances. Yeah, I imagine they sweep the board.
Uh-huh. There you go. Some wild card nuggets there. Bet accordingly on those games. Do you like any underdog straight up? So real quick, the underdogs.
Yes.
Okay, who?
I like the Rams straight up.
Right.
I think that's it. And the Rams, last I saw, 2.5-point underdogs. I want the Broncos with the points.
I've seen it up to 3 because now it's not even a home game, really. They're playing a neutral site game in Arizona.
Let that keep climbing. I want the Rams in that game straight up. I want Pittsburgh with the points. That one's dangerous.
They're getting a lot. They're getting 9.5 against Baltimore.
And they already beat them earlier this year.
True.
I mean, I know they lost the last time they played, but they beat them once.
Mm-hmm.
I want Denver with the points. Chargers are road favorites. That's not an underdog, but I like the Chargers in that game, too.
So a road team. Yeah, I'm kind of chalky, I think, across the board. I'm rooting hard for Minnesota. That's sort of a win-win because I like these offensive coaches. So either Sean McVay or Kevin O'Connell is coming away with a win.
Yeah, you want all the offensive coaches playing each other, so they just go super far. That's true.
There is at least that. But there you go. There's your wild card weekend keys.
Do you play Uno with the girls?
Yes.
So that you
well,
can't,
the five, CC.
You can't play a wild card in a wild card?
Yeah, that's what some people play.
That's like Uno's. That might be like the official rules.
It is. It's very controversial because most people don't play that way, but that's what Uno says is the rules.
I also was told you can't play a +2 on a +2. We were playing some Uno with my sister-in-law.
Suddenly it's a +4.
Over the holidays. And so I'm told Uno like tweeted about this.
They did. And everybody fought back. They're like, we're good.
Yeah,
we'll
dude.
Take it from here.
Yeah, you can play a +2 on a +2.
Just make your cards. We'll play the game we want to play. No, it's true. Most people don't play that
way. I'm like itching to do that to my son every time there's a +2 out there.
Like,
in your face, Lucas.
He's like, Dad, according to the official rule book, you can't do that.
Yeah, I was checking on social media, Dad.
Damn it.
You can't actually do that. So those are the keys to Wild Card Weekend from Rich Keefe. We also gave his Bruins scoop. Very, very busy day from Rich Keefe. Can I just read you these comments before the grab bag, or do you want to save?
I got them in the grab bag if you want to put them in there.
Let's save them.
Let's just save them for the grab bag.
All right, Gerard Mayo's wife active on Instagram. We'll get to that and more in the grab bag. Stay tuned for it. Billy Lanny with all the latest and trending. We'll see what WEEI Afternoons has coming up. It's Andy Hart and question mark. It's not Arcan today, right?
Oh.
Fitzy?
I don't know.
Just a guess.
Maybe ball knows ball?
It might be.
Ball knows ball.
WEEI Afternoons at 2. We have Clip du Jour on the way. Billy Lanny with all the latest here. And then when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag.
Are y'all ready, kids? Oh! Who lives in- than a pineapple under the sea.
SpongeBob!
Rat bag.
Absorbent and yellow and porous as he.
SpongeBob!
Rat bag.
Ready? SpongeBob!
Rat bag.
SpongeBob!
Rat bag.
SpongeBob!
Rat bag.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Bruins have now dropped 6 in a row after losing 4-1 to the Lightning last night. The Bees are back on the ice tomorrow afternoon when the Bruins remain in Florida to play the Panthers. Puck drop is at 1 o'clock. Celtics look to make it back-to-back wins tonight when the Seas host the Kings. Tip-off at the Garden is at 7:30. Patriots special team of Brendan Schooler was named first-team All-Pro, and cornerback Christian Gonzalez was named to the All-Pro second team for defense. Yesterday, the Patriots interviewed Mike Vrabel for the head coach opening. Today, the Pats will have a virtual meeting with Detroit Lions OC Ben Johnson. 93.7 is your home for Westwood One's coverage of all NFL playoff games. Wildcard weekend begins with the Texans hosting the Chargers at 4:30 tomorrow, followed by the Steelers versus the Ravens in Baltimore. Coverage begins at 4 o'clock. There are 3 more games on Sunday. At 1 o'clock, the Broncos visit the Bills. At 4:30, the Eagles host the Packers. And finally, it's Commanders Buccaneers at 8 o'clock. Westwood One's coverage will begin at 12:30 on Sunday. And Notre Dame advanced to the College Football National Championship game with their 27-24 win over Penn State last night. Notre Dame now waits for the winner of tonight's Cotton Bowl matchup between Texas and Ohio State. You can hear the call of the game right here on 93.7. Coverage begins at 7. Kickoff is at 7:30. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.